Hey, honey, want to try something different this weekend?
Ooh, what do you have in mind?
Have you ever role played before?
You mean like whips and all that other scary stuff?
Oh, no. I'm talking about rolling some dice and playing some Dungeons & Dragons. Or even trying something like a cool new board game or a collectible card game like Magic the Gathering.
Oh, that sounds way better than the other thing.
NobleKnight.com is your one-stop shop for all things role-playing, board, wargaming, and collectible card games. Noble Knight Games is committed to providing you with the best possible selection of new and used products with a selection of over 100,000. Everything on the site is in stock and ready to ship to you worldwide. Discounts are available, and you can expect reasonable prices for rare items. You can even sell or trade your stuff to them. NobleKnight.com, where out of print is available again.
So I can be the elf this time, right?
Oh, honey.
Throughout the ages, there have been heroes and warriors who have embarked on quests to save faraway lands and free the people from would-be conquerors. With dice and not a lot of common sense in various role-playing games. Today, our legends come from the halls of This Week in Geek. An unlikely group of nerdy adventurers armed with some pretty stupid ideas and a horseshoe up their butts come together to save the day in These Warriors Are Terrible. Seriously, these are the guys we're going to go with?
Hey there, geeks, geekettes, and cousinettes. Welcome back to These Warriors Are Terrible, Debrief Edition 4, Paranoia XP. Man, that was an extremely interesting game. I am Steve Snowball Sailor, and I want to say that this episode is sponsored by NobleKnight.com, where Out of Print is available again. You can really get some amazing RPG books, including stuff that you never thought would actually be in print still. And also, this episode is sponsored by OffworldDesigns.com. Get some amazing t-shirts, some geeky t-shirts. Mike, I assume you're wearing one right now?
No, this is actually a gift from a Reddit gift exchange.
Oh, cool.
But there are some awesome Brony t-shirts over there. I recommend the I Heart Brony and the Pony State Bronies.
Yes, so you are also Mike the Birdman Dodd.
Yes!
And then we have, beside me...
Julian never been so mad about spam in his life, Spillane.
And...
Erica Sailor Sunshi Sabo.
And...
Cassie Casabella Choo Choo.
And our GM for this evening.
Oh my God, Justin, I'm so tired, Ecock.
Yeah. Spam, eggs, bacon, and spam.
Spam, spam, eggs, bacon, and spam.
I don't want any spam.
Spam, 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 spam.
It's actually
lovely
in the
spam,
book.
Wonderful spam.
In the page that has the spam in this book, the where normally it has like a title and then a little like, I regret I have but 6 clones to lose for my complex and little funny quotes. On the spam page, it's just all spam, 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 spam.
That's awesome.
The book is more fun to read than it is even to play this stupid game. It's one of the most elegantly hilarious written rule books I've ever gone through.
It is pretty amazing.
I would say this. So like the whole thing about Paranoia, just to kind of lead up to how we came here today, mainly we were told by Justin to not read the rule
book.
Don't
read shit.
I think I said, don't read the rules, but you should read the rules. But if you read the rules, you're not allowed to tell me you read the rules. But you can read the rules, it's fine. But if you do, it's treason.
That's what he said.
It made my head hurt. I was very confused.
So this was interesting for all of us. I mean, because I think the only other person who have read the rules was Julian. Right.
And Cassie, I think you read the rules.
I read a nice portion of it. I couldn't. Oh my God, it's so huge. I couldn't get through the whole
thing. I read a little.
It was gigantic.
I read a little bit. I read just a skim, very skim briefly, the red clearance section. And then page 37, which was acceptable and unacceptable behavior, according to Frank Computer.
Yeah, me too.
But that's the thing. It's like it's a game that you go in pretty much blind. We also decided, Justin decided to give us pre-made characters, so we weren't. We could have created our own, but because obviously we didn't know the rules, we didn't know what was best, so we'd left it up to the discretion of the GM, and so we had predetermined characters based on a survey that we all had to fill out ahead of time, and that also determined which character we were going to get. So, and they were all determined a special sort of occupation. So, of course, we had Cassie, as you were the...
The happiness officer.
Erica, you were the...
The team leader.
And Julian, you were...
Loyalty officer.
I was the equipment guy.
I was the hygiene officer.
Yes. Yes.
Clean team is a mean team.
That's right. Bring it on, motherfucker.
Yeah. So, and then we came into this pretty much blind. And what did you guys think?
I really enjoyed it. This is like the kind of game that I like, in that you don't know what the GM's planning. You know he's conspiring against you, but you don't know the universe. So everything's like, it's an experiment. If I do this, I have no idea what's going to happen. And I really like that. I know that that doesn't gel with a lot of people's play styles, but that's really the kind of game that I think shakes things up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. It was a little nerve-wracking at first, but I kind of just went with it. I'm like, well, there's certain things I'm definitely not going to do in terms of my real mission, but I'm just going to have fun with this and see where it goes. And I think that was that's what made it so enjoyable for me, was I was just like, oh, I'll just, with whatever happens, I'll just deal with it.
And certainly the survey that you all filled out before the show began would in no way have ever conspired to put the least experienced and least confident person in the role of team leader. That would never be the way that survey had worked out.
Totally not. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Rumors are treason. Rumors are treason.
Yeah.
Yes. Cassie, what'd you think?
Oh, I was so nervous coming in. I was like, oh god, this is so much. It was fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like we did it totally wrong, but it's awesome that we did it totally wrong.
I don't think that there is a wrong way, though. I mean, you can just...
You're set up to fail from the very beginning.
No, the thing is that, you know, the idea is we were supposed to be somewhat backstabby, and we kind of... I mean, I clearly wasn't. In fact, I feel like my role was kind of... It was hard for me to feel like I needed to be backstabby because I was constantly making everyone happy.
Well, I don't think the point is to be backstabby. I think the point is to be loyal to the computer. And if that involves backstabbing, then so be it. But your role really didn't need to, and I think you played it just fine.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Mike, what did you think?
This is a different game than what I was expecting. I mean, I'm not sure if I personally would come back to Paranoia XP as an ongoing thing. As a one-shot, I'm definitely glad that I had a chance to play, because this is a game I've been aware about since about the early 90s, but never played, because I saw it in, like, Wizard World or Toy Fair, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I started really getting into it around hour two, going into three. Mm-hmm. Once, because I think you and I, I'm pointing to Erica, we both just kind of looked at each other and went, man, fuck it. And just went ape shit. Because, like, all right, I'm bored. I'm going to stir things up a little bit. And then things really start going.
I can't believe you shot Mark OG in the face. What did he do?
I know.
He did nothing illegal.
The opportunity was annoying, apparently.
Yeah, the opportunity was there. I figured, what's going to happen next if I do this? And
exactly.
I was like, yeah, let's see what happens.
Yeah,
right?
Honestly, I think with me, I had the most difficulty with this game, I think, out of all of us.
You take dying way too hard.
Yeah, you really did.
It's like somebody kicks your dog.
It's not that bad. You get clones, right? It's not like you're
It's an RPG style that I'm definitely not used to. And I don't know. It had so many ups and downs. And because it didn't have, like... I'm not a backstabby person to begin with, and the thing is, technically, the equipment manager, there was no equipment. I was making shit up the entire time.
I was tempted to start sending messages from the computer to you asking if the requisitioned equipment was performing to stats, how is the experimental equipment from R&D performing, can you perform test 837B and report back with... I was going to send you, like, fake status requests to your phone, but... I didn't want to like put you over the verge, throw you over the cliff like that.
Because here's the thing, though, like I didn't know this until after I talked to Justin. I think it was after about the first hour, and I had to go to him because like we didn't get any equipment. There was no equipment, and all I was doing was sort of trying to fix.
Because you never showed up for your mission.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, okay, the only equipment that there is weapons, and apparently I didn't even look at my stats until after it happened. I don't have any. I can't fix weapons.
Yeah.
That's
you
my stats.
You can make them look shiny.
I can make them, yes, exactly. I can make them look very shiny. And
You can pretend to fix weapons and then actually break them.
And I have to have that chat. The role of the equipment guy isn't to fix weapons. It's to inspect weapons.
Yeah.
And then report back to both the loyalty officer or the team leader on the current status of the equipment, and to ensure that the equipment given returns in the form that it was given in the first place, so
which,
not to
which
incur
Which is why
fines.
I replied yes when the fact that all the equipment was functioning, because we never had any equipment to begin with, so they were all functioning.
Yeah. So you were the guy that rents the bowling shoes.
So yeah, exactly. So the thing is, without any equipment to do, and without really knowing what to do, I was lost the entire time. The only time that I actually kind of felt like I was doing something was when we got onto the reality show, and I was just like, okay, fine, you know what? I'll roll with the fact that I'm a robot.
That was good.
I don't know. I felt very lost. I wasn't having as much fun as I should have. I will admit to that. I wanted to have fun, and I didn't have enough fun. I wish I did.
I completely understand that feeling. I remember playing another Paranoia campaign, and it was one that involved an invisible train, and I remember feeling the exact same sort of stupid loss.
Was it
on
sort of?
It was the second campaign that we had played, so we were playing it as a sequel to the last one, even though we were all new troubleshooters. Which is interesting. That's really the only way you can do a long-form troubleshooter campaign in Paranoia is you, the players, are the only persistent thing. Your characters have to constantly be changing because their lifespans aren't long enough. But the I remember feeling very frustrated. But it's one of those, like, I tried, but with all the going on, and I got, you know, four other players, too, and it's sort of, I'm hoping that, you know, with the introduction of the film crew and then with the introduction of the scrub bot swarms, and as the conspiracy begins to overtake, like, the trick with Paranoia, the mission doesn't mean anything. The office roles mean even less. The secret firms and societies only are there to help add flavor to your character, to help push the role play.
Yeah.
What is supposed to push Paranoia is your interaction with the group.
I just didn't know how... I just didn't know how to build to portray my character, and to top it all off, I basically was a craster the entire time. I was Captain Ineffectual
can be frustrating when the roles start not being in your favor. Yeah. Which is why I started taking more and more roles behind the desk and just flubbing them around. But the standoff in the display room with all the experimental equipment in there, that was great. I was like, this is like a moment where just the troubleshooters had just snapped. They realized just how little everything mattered, how little control they had over it.
I know. That was the thing.
That was the thing.
And the only person pulling these together is the loyalty officer going like, computer, request permission to execute team leader. Yeah.
that's the thing. It was enjoyable to watch and listen all that. There was nothing for me to do. I mean, I could have shot people if I wanted to, but that's the thing. I didn't have a purpose. I didn't have a goal. And I think because of that, I just wasn't able to have as much fun as I wanted to. Maybe that's just a fault of myself or the way I played.
In a game like Paranoia, at any time you can request a private conference with the GM. And you could have asked, you know, pause the game, come in here and go, I have no purpose here. And I could have you sit down in a confessional booth with the computer program and... we could find your purpose. You shouldn't feel lost. If you're not having fun, it's your responsibility as the player. I thought you were having fun with the robot. I didn't realize until now that the whole thing was a little bit more facetious.
The robot was fun. It just wasn't like that was but it was to me it was facetious to do.
I had a lot of challenges with doing this for these warriors are terrible because I'm in another room. I can't really feel the energy of the room
and
as much as I would have liked to.
And this is absolutely, and I want you to let you know, this is absolutely of no fault to you.
Well, thanks.
Actually, I kind of felt more as a listener of These Warriors Are Terrible just but being in the room because it was enjoyable to listen to the group interact with you. I love this world. I really do. The fact, when you described it to me as Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy meets 1984, I was like, that is like the coolest idea ever. And reading a little bit in the Paranoia book, it was the most fun. Like, I laughed several times at home and reading that over.
And great. And that's all I would say is if you do that, if you ever subject yourself to playing Paranoia again, if you're not having fun, it doesn't matter which GM you're playing with, pull them aside and go, I'm not having fun. What can I do right now to have fun? And they can be like, all right, listen, I'm not supposed to tell you this, But Julian is your mortal enemy. He's with the Frankenstein destroyers, and he's got a mutant power, da da da, or whatever. He's with Protech, or he's with your rival secret society. He's been spying on you. He knows everything about you. You have to take him out before he reports your treason to the computer. Mm-hmm. That gives you a goal, right? Mm-hmm. Create a rivalry. Like, I can do that as the GM. I can totally cheat and reveal secret information that I shouldn't reveal. And then if you tell, the GM told me, I'll deny it and be like, he's a liar. Don't believe him. Treason points.
See, that's the thing, and I think it's because of the fact I didn't know what the rules were. I didn't know what was acceptable. And
there
what
are no rules in Paranoia XP. Right. Yeah. That's why you're not allowed to know the rules. Because if you know the rules, you'll feel like you have to follow them.
Yeah. Well, I think Julian said this when we were just kind of chatting between sessions. It's because we didn't make our own characters, we're not invested in the world. And I really felt that because in my mind, okay, I think I came into Paranoia XP not knowing what to expect. For some reason, I had this game mixed up with another game called, I think it's called Conspiracy X. I thought this was going to be the X-Files. I was expecting like some super serious spy thriller where everyone's out to get you, which in essence they are. And I think I came in with the wrong expectations. But the fact that we came in with pre-generated characters, it just wasn't something I was expecting. And that's not a knock on you. It's I didn't know what to think of the system and the world, and it very much threw me off because my roleplay style, once again, I think you said this, Twant runs like an action movie.
Yeah.
There's your opening, your fight, your chase, the conclusion. And with this one, it was very much dependent upon group chemistry. And we all sat down like, is it us? Is it the group that we're not gelling? And we're like, no, it's because we're running under a quote-unquote new GM with a new player into it. Mm-hmm. So it's you getting used to us, maybe.
And also, I think going back to the character thing, because you didn't roll your own characters, you didn't know everything about your character, mm-hmm. which gave you less options, fewer options to exploit. Like, sure. I read this throughout the entire game. I was just reading this top to bottom, trying to be like, okay, I kind of know what I can exploit here. And that was like, it required a lot of trying to figure out what I could exploit for my character. I think had we created our characters, obviously, we would know those because we wrote the backstory.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things.
And I was... up until like this week, I was kind of okay with that. And as I was reading more and more of with Mr. Bubbles, Bubbles is Mongoose Publishing, the guys who made Paranoia. It's their introductory module for both GMs and players. This is the story that they use to introduce people to Paranoia for the first time.
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one. So it comes with those pre-generated characters mostly for the GM's sake because there is so much behind-the-scenes work. If the player knows more about their characters than the GM does, then the gambit doesn't work.
Well, here's...
I need to know about your skills and your secrets as much as you do.
Right. Well, here's the question, though. I mean, because this book was that we ran
and,
was
in defense of that too. Every other module that I've seen in the expansion packs, they come with suggested pre-gen characters.
Right.
And it is only in what are called straight games, which are the long form, less comedy, less likely to die, where everything in Alpha Complex actually works.
Yeah.
Like clockwork. It actually is a utopia, but full of a lot more conspiracy and backstabbing.
Is it kind of like Fallout? Because that's kind of the
it's got a bit of a Fallout vibe to it, but even less taking itself seriously than Fallout does.
Well, here's a question, though. I mean, because this book was published in 84, correct? Or is it?
This one is 2004.
This is 2004, so this is the revised one.
Like Windows XP. That's where the XP comes from.
Oh, okay.
It's called Service Pack 1, and it's they took the 84 style of Paranoia and updated it with spam and CSI references.
That's what I was wondering,
You know, this is more like 2004 pop culture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I was wondering, like, because I thought this was the older one, and I thought, like, that's actually pretty kind of interesting that they wouldn't spam in 1984.
Yeah, like, that's very forward thinking.
That's very, exactly, but I thought, like, that was my thing, is, like, was it maybe the 30-year gap or was it a brand new system compared to that? And I don't know, I'm just trying to... I'm trying to pinpoint what it was that just sort of wasn't gelling.
Oh, I think it's definitely – some of it comes down to me. My role, I didn't work as well pulling people – but a lot of it is, I think, choosing to do it in a radio studio. As much as it's great, it would be much different sitting around a table where notes are actually being passed in silent, where I don't have to feel about keeping audio running and keeping a certain pace and hitting a certain time limit. There were certain unique challenges that come with doing it for Terra.
I think maybe we have found a sort of at least an error in Paranoia. Is it does not cater well to a short campaign.
It caters to a much longer run
that where we can be able to just sort of develop our characters as we go along. It maybe just doesn't fit with the format of these Warriors Are Terrible.
I was gonna say, I don't think it's not that it doesn't fit a short game, it's that it doesn't fit These Warriors Are Terrible.
Right.
It's not episodic.
Yes.
Like, I'm sure we could do an awesome Paranoia campaign start to finish in, like, 8-9 hours.
Yeah.
And get through everything. But I think it's the fact that, crap, we need to wrap this up and end it on a point that people will remember it on. That's difficult for you, Justin.
Well,
like,
let me ask you this, Justin, because I presume you've listened to the other episodes, right? Do you think this would have run better had you had the other players, like, say, Scotty? Because you know that guy can react to anything. Or Big Mike, for example. Would this have run better with a different group of players?
Not with me. I mean, part of it was how I was able to... I mean, I was chatting you guys up for, like, the last week, you know, sending you little messages, making you freaked out, and trying to help set the tone. And I would be interested in trying Paranoia again. Let's just spend a little bit more time making my own module, letting you create your own characters and see how different it is.
Yeah.
I would be interested in not recording it, but sitting around a table, passing notes in secret, having to eye people down, where people are wanting to fight over who gets to sit next to the GM so that they can pass secretly and people don't know that notes are being passed back.
Right. That would have been cool.
I'm in.
That's actually one of the things where you can spend perversity points to get that vented seat,
awesome.
you know, right next to it.
You know who would be the perfect players for you, Justin, for this? You need to get Big Mike and you need to get Tom White.
Yeah.
Because Tom gets retarded into this.
Yeah.
Him and even, like, basically the group who played Pendragon, even Connell, these guys would be great for you. And I, you know what? I want you to run Paranoia again this year with the other group.
That'd be cool. Get a different perspective.
Yeah, those are the guys, because those guys, they react like bam, 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 bam. These guys are old hat role players. So I'd be very curious to see how your style would kind of gel with them. And like I said, I think the world of Paranoia, it's interesting. I just wish I knew more about it coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of glad you didn't hype it up to me. You just let me come in blind. And like I said, once things started rolling, I found we had a lot more fun, especially in like hour two.
Yeah,
I want to derail for a quick second and talk about it. So one of the cool things about this game that I think listeners won't get is the random things that happen to us that you can't hear. So at one point I took Erica aside and took her into the room with Justin and told her that, like, I had identified her crew as being part of the Death Leopards, and that they are traitors and need to die, and that either she kills them or I kill them and then turn her in for being a traitor for not having turned them in.
I don't know why you were paying the Death Leopard groupies that were assigned to her by Henry Y on her. They were part of the shooter's extra cast and had nothing to do with her role.
We didn't know but I was just like, it was this random thing I pulled out. But as I came back in, because I have this note where I was taking notes on people, because that's what I do. I have a note. And
in a normal game, that actually would be used. In a normal module, there's whole pages on actually doing almost like treason combat roles that deal damage that can lead to the convincing the computer to like brain scrub you at the end and have memories wiped
out
or be censured. And obviously none of that's there. There's a whole nother level of paranoia that this module doesn't touch on, because for first-time players, you're just not there yet.
Yeah.
It'd be way too much to try and take in on top of everything that you had to absorb this time.
So this thing's supposed to lock. Right, and I've got a key, but I never actually put out my intention to lock the paper. So when I went in to talk to Justin, I came back and scrawled in letters on my my pad was "You are being watched" in all caps, and I was just like,
"Do you want to know the origin of that?"
I do, because that's the kind of thing.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot less epic than you're thinking. So we're like, all right, let's fuck with Julian. So basically, we're like, let's look at his notepad and know what's going on. But then
that's interesting. That's really, if that were to come up in an actual debriefing that someone had done that and not informed the GM, that's grounds for erasure.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So if someone said, you know, they have to tell me, we got his notepad, it was unlocked, and we left a message in it for him. If I don't know about that and I can't work that into the roles that I'm doing behind the scene, it's right there on the trees and damage page. Obscuring information from the GM is the most heinous crime in this game.
Well,
and
it's I'm not sure.
Erasure means you die and your clone template is removed. Your whole family is purged.
Originally, the note was going to be, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Steve's like, this is funny.
Funnier. It's just like, this works a little bit easier.
And then in a long-form campaign, you get bonuses. The surviving members who show up to the briefing all get bumped up a clearance level. Yeah. You get a better monthly salary. You get some new equipment. And then you all go back to their jobs and everyone talks about you on mid shows.
I didn't know. I didn't think I was being fucked with, like, from a just like hilarity perspective. Because
shows what you know by playing with us.
No, because when you read, especially my character, in his backstory, it even says, like, I'm an armed forces guy, made a troubleshooter, and I've been given a loyalty officer role, which implies that someone from internal security is probably going to be on the team watching me. It specifically says.
Seriously?
Oh my god. That's amazing.
Wow. I had no clue.
Yeah.
It says
we had
you didn't know much about what a loyalty officer does, but the fact they gave it to you instead of someone from internal security suggests that there's going to be an InSec undercover agent on the team watching you. So I was like, and so for the rest of the game, I was like, which one of you is it?
Okay, that just made up for a lot of fun. That was okay. Yeah. Now I'm knowing that. I'm like, all right.
I was a Frankenstein destroyer.
Oh, you were a Frankenstein destroyer?
Oh, yes,
oh my god.
I don't think.
We should talk about some of our like hidden backgrounds.
Yeah, I want to say stuff.
Cassie wants to say stuff.
I've been trying to say stuff forever. Jeez.
Sorry, Cassie, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not even really sure we did that like to fuck with your character's head in game. I think we just wanted to like put something funny. Like, well, they wrote that down, and then I was like, just draw a butt on the page. Just like draw a butt. Just draw a butt. Like.
Secret butt sex.
And Erica, being a Frankenstein destroyer, I was glad you took on as many robots as you could, but I was really waiting for you to turn on Steve, who was portraying the role of the cyborg sidekick.
Yeah, I know. But that was when I got my Thermentar 2. So
you kind of turned your groupies on the cyborg.
Yeah.
You've been like totally rock and roll.
I know, but it silenced my aggression. You know, and then by the time I didn't have it, then he wasn't a bot anymore. So it's like okay. This is okay.
Well, I think he wore the prosthetics right into the briefing room at the very end.
Oh,
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
I never took them off.
Well, I wasn't very nice to you anyways.
No.
We never really
interacted. That's the thing. I think, I don't think any of us really interacted other than you two.
Well, that's what I mean. Again, if I was sitting at a table and not in another room, I would have been working a lot harder as the GM to sow that distrust and jealousy between players.
Because
paranoia is supposed to be, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's fine.
Paranoia is supposed to be less about the world that I'm creating and more about the Mexican standoff that is the players around the table.
And I think like this was good for These Words Are Terrible because in a way, it's an experiment to see whether or not this kind of like a system like this would work, and we can. And it shows that yes, it could work in certain circumstances.
It's outside of our comfort zone.
It is outside.
It's
exactly because that's the whole point of These Words Are Terrible. We're trying out different systems that we've never tried before, and it should always be new. It should always be fun, and we hope that you as listeners enjoyed it as obviously most of us did. But if you. If you liked it or if you disliked it or if you weren't sure about it or if you hadn't heard of it before, we'd love to hear your feedback about this.
You can call us.
817-717-7202. Yeah. I check the voicemails typically about once a week.
And we actually have a new sort of email address for specifically These Warriors Are Terrible feedback. So if you email feedback@thesewarriorsareterrible.com, you can be able to go directly. It'll go to us, and then we'll be able to take a look at the feedback and figure out, okay, should we come back to Paranoia again or play something similar to this? Because obviously there is other RPGs that are close.
Well, ask yourself this. Would the world of Paranoia work under a better dice system? Like say
that's
GURPS.
True, yeah. Or like would
or
D6.
Oh, D6 is so much fun. I love D6.
But the nature of Paranoia is that there actually is no dice system.
Right.
Yeah. Almost half the time, I've got all those papers back there. There are four papers there that are me to roll to randomly come up with excuses on why I can't give you information.
Wow.
So the secret behind Paranoia is that the dice rolls mean nothing. The only thing that matters is, are you entertaining the game master enough that he will go along with whatever you want to do? Mm-hmm. If it's good enough, he'll roll and go like, yeah, you win.
and he'll take sides. And it's sort of like you got to pick your favorite kid in the room
and bribe the GM with you know certain like entertainment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's so. I mean, yeah, you could make the argument it would work in a different dice system, except that the core of paranoia is there are no rules.
I want to say one
thing
about paranoia.
This, in every single paragraph, the famous game designers that wrote this book remind the game master that he can ignore every single thing that he likes.
It's amazing. Paranoia is probably the only game where I cared about getting everyone's player name right, too, because I was writing everything down. I was like, okay, you're Peter. So he was like, you're Hunter. I'm Gunther. Like, just, I had it all in memories then. But do you guys want to hear just some of, like, the highlights of notes I took?
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
So the first thing I took was, Peter is exhibiting signs of hormonal imbalance and bestial impulses. Next, Dexter is overly critical and overzealous when it comes to inspections. Yeah, Party seems to stall unnecessarily. Peter seems overly paranoid. Dexter appears to be interested in modifying R&D equipment, which is like a, you know, treasonous activity.
Okay.
Ginger appears to showcase commie thoughts and humor, in quotes. Peter attempted to enter a restricted area.
Oh, Cassie did
Peter
not
is horny
buy.
Is what I wrote.
Cassie did not buy a joke book in the infrared market. When she opened it up between episodes, I told her that it had an entire Lenin manifesto written inside of it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I never used that against anyone.
I was so getting ready to plant that on somebody.
Dexter has destroyed my pistol.
I hate Dexter.
Peter appears to be dissatisfied with his equipment. Dexter has acquired a yellow device. Ginger has purchased classic BBB, which apparently is treasonous because normal BBB is the better improved version. Why would you want something from the past? The friendly computer has given you something new.
Exactly.
Let's see. Dexter showed complete disregard for other troubleshooters. Oh, Dexter's...
Wait, when?
I don't know.
You
some
to
point.
Throw me in the
Yeah, that was the one.
Oh, yeah, that
Dexter's
one.
Robot voice appears to be a blatant mockery of the computer.
All right, okay.
Peter left the group suspicious. And then, like, fuck it. Peter and Ginger committed high treason for murder. Peter
awesome.
Damaged computer
we
property.
Are awesome.
Ginger used her left hand to shoot.
And what that works is,
the left-handed people
through,
are traitors.
If you like, what some of these charges would be here at the back with the treason.
Yeah, what is this GG1A?
So, let me find the treason
just,
damage
just
chart.
Just one more thing before
so,
you go on with
chart.
That.
Wait,
I noticed you didn't write
a location or higher security clearance.
Cassie's got something, huh?
Cassie, yeah.
I know. Are there any comments about Hunter in there at all?
No, because you really weren't that untreasonous.
I was being very careful to not be treasonous.
I do have one in you. Hunter used an indigo chainsaw.
Oh, there we
execute.
Go.
Execute. That's my note on there.
So pretty much.
And then I gave treason to everybody for lying to the computer in the briefing.
Unauthorized. No one lied to the computer. Unauthorized destruction. And another rule with that briefing is the very first thing said was the official record. So if anyone else said anything afterwards, that didn't go down into the official record. So unauthorized destruction of higher clearance property. Medication plus, and it has like an X, depending on the clearance level of destruction, times 100 credits. So if clearance level 1 for red, 2 for orange, 3 for yellow. So the higher clearance level of the destruction of property, the more percentages. So it'd be 5 times 100. So in the lying to game master, termination, demonstrating knowledge of paranoia rules above player's clearance, termination, file sharing, censure, being present in a location of higher security clearance, assaulting a lower clearance citizen, and then a citizen of higher clearance, which you didn't just assault, you killed them. That would be the highest version of that is termination. It starts at medication and it goes to termination. Being accused of treason by a citizen of lower... So I had you guys writing down these acronyms, but also because I knew that we would never get around to it, I didn't make it that crazy. In a future game, I'd have you going like, write down an EE34-4. And then at the end of the game, you'd list back all your charges, and then the computer would then read out basically, boom, 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 boom. You're going to be medicated, terminated, and be fined this amount of money.
Wow.
In that order.
You know, I would honestly, for those listening, I would definitely recommend at least trying to be able to pick up the book and just read through it. Because it was, like, just for what I read, a little bit of it, it was amazing to read. It was, like, it was the most confusing yet the most hilarious thing I had read.
If I roll a 20 on information withholding, I roll twice and vacillate between two different responses.
Wow.
So if I can't con you enough and you guys keep probing me for questions for something I don't want to answer,
yeah.
Only a traitor would have used that information. Is the Inquirer a traitor? Give obviously wrong information, repeat it a second time completely differently and still obviously wrong.
All right, now do we want to go through the secret stuff or do we want to end off?
I've got a question actually.
Sure.
I might have misread this in the rules, but is it treasonous to be accused of treason?
It is.
I think I pulled that off once, didn't I?
You can be fined on the accusation. I mean, it's insubordination through implication. But you're not going to get, it's not going to be a heavy fine. The computer's not going to murder you. Well, the computer can't murder you, but the computer's not going to terminate you. But if you're accused of treason and you can't disprove the accusation, then just to be on the safe side, we'll dock 50 credits off of your account.
Okay. Mm. Okay. All right. Because right? I thought I was like, am I reading that right?
Or sometimes it can be just right? as innocuous as you just get an official reprimand. And it just goes down in your record. It doesn't actually mean anything, but maybe these things all add up. Each area has secret tension levels that I don't tell you about, that I'm doing secret roles. In for example, the display room, there is absolutely nothing you can do in that display room that isn't going to be immediately viewed by the computer. That tension level was like 14 or something. So, which meant that every time I was rolling secret roles, every time you did treasonous activity, see, not if, like, did anyone see that wasn't in the room through cameras or surveillance materials or bugs or anything like that. Whereas in the marketplace, there's a zero tension level. No one's listening in and no one who's listening in cares. Mm. So,
what was the PP thing we got?
That was destruction of property for the VAT chamber.
Oh, right.
Okay.
You would have probably been put on a hate channel for 10 minutes for the entire Alpha Complex to yell at you. happened with the surveys that you filled out to get your things, we had Erica actually write down that a commie is squeaky clean. In one of the answers. So that was immediate grounds for termination and more so public termination. So you guys, if you had been watching the vid shows the night before like Julian had, would have actually seen Erica being executed as part of the entertainment shows and then her clone took over, which is why she started at Clone 2.
Oh.
I was so curious, you know? I was like, which one should I fill out? I'm like, I want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Poking the bear.
Yeah, I liked being Clone 2. It made me feel like if I did die, like...
Well, sure. And you're coming across NPCs that are Clone 6 and Clone 7 and all these other things, right?
You know, I kind of liked being in that, point of view.
How did you determine our roles in this?
Well, the survey gives me a way to count up all your answers. All your answers were assigned to numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then in order, the highest number for different loyalty wins went to different teams. And so then one person would get that, and they'd be removed from the pool. And the next person would get that, they'd be removed from the pool. And then the very last one was team leader. So the team leader was the only one who wasn't competing with any other numbers. They were just the last one who didn't get any other role.
Wow. Okay, I see how it is.
Oh, that's funny.
I was so scared. I was like, I don't want to be team leader. And then I was. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be the most unhelpful team leader ever.
The main reason I asked that question.
Which is exactly how the team leader is supposed to feel.
Exactly. Yeah. I liked being surly like that, just being a jerk.
You could not have picked a better role for me, especially when you look at you look at my background. I'm just going to read a little bit of this. You're very believable. You've always got a way to work the system and find another angle, whether it's convincing someone of another lie, or just finding the right evidence in the right data logs, or plain pretending to be someone else and slipping out of the room before it's too late. I am a master bullshitter.
Yeah, you were pretty
and
much
And I tried to do that in the game. I'm like, man, Justin, you picked just the right role for me. And it was fun to try and convince you, and when I couldn't convince you as Marco... That's why I was I'm just going to fucking waste you, because if I can't convince you with honeyed words, you're going to do it at the end of a gun barrel.
What was everyone's mutant power?
I had super hearing.
Mine was electroshock.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, but I didn't know how to really use it.
Cut someone's balls.
Well, you never asked me. The mutant powers specifically don't have descriptions. They're all in the Game Master section. You are required to ask the Game Master for anything you don't understand. And then I'll sit here, I'll open up the page and be like, yeah, it looks like you can take laser fire into your hands and redirect it. But what I'm not telling you is that if you fail the roll that I do secretly on a number that you don't know about, which I actually do know, I know what all your power numbers are, you take all that stuff in, you begin to glow, and then explode like a tac nuke.
Yep.
So, you know, and everyone's mutant powers, you had Matter Eater.
Yeah.
If you had used, every time you used it, your power level went to zero, which was also another role that I'm not going to reveal because that would be giving too much of the magician's secrets away. But if you had used Matter Eater more than once in a scene, you would have not had the mutant ability to pull it off and would have said ripped your esophagus out of your throat and died. But you just, for whatever lucky, stupid reason, only Diver did it once per scene. And every scene, your mutant power would recharge. And you'd be able to do it again. But if you had pulled out a sword and then go like, and now I'm going to pull out something else, you would have reached into your throat and tried to cough up, and then all the ammo would have gone off in your head.
That would have been cool.
That would have been cool.
Right? But that was, you know, there are malfunctions for every weapon. Yeah. There are backfires for every mutant power. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one who knows that. So that's one reason why you shouldn't read the Game Master page, because it gives you all the information. Then you ask the Game Master, he opens up to that page, and he tells you some of the information. Yeah. And it only tells you enough that he wants to tell you now, and then maybe he'll lie about the rest, and he'll include the rest, and he'll go, you know what, that you're not cleared for that clearance level yet to learn about that mutant power. Maybe you should ask to get away from the group and call your secret society and ask them what they know about your mutant power, because you can trust the secret society in a way that you can't trust your own teammates. Mm-hmm. Especially with you, Steve, you were with the Mystics. The Mystics, yes, believe in mutant powers. They're friends of mutants. They use drugs to they're kind of like weird hippie druids. And so they're always like getting high, like, hey, man. But they're also like using superpowers and stuff. And it's all just all part of the cosmos, man. And so, when you were down in the market, or when you were with the limo, or one person's going off to the washroom, but, I mean, again, that's part of the challenge of the game is when I say to the players, you can ask me anything you want, and you don't, I don't know how much more to say. You should come in here and talk to me about your mutant power so I can tell you everything about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to give that away. I'd almost rather you be a little lost and not get to use your power.
I guess it's the not knowing what is proper to do or not.
Not knowing the etiquette.
Yes, the etiquette.
But I tried to make it clear when we had our briefing before we recorded that in a private conversation with the GM, there is no etiquette, there is no rules. You can ask anything without repercussion.
I guess maybe it's just because I just didn't know what question to ask.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, like...
But, you looked at electroshock, and you didn't know what that meant.
Well, it's the thing. It's like I kept looking at it, and I kept trying to.
I mean, using a mutant power is really dangerous.
Yeah,
because then everyone
that's
knows
you're
a mutant.
That's the contradictory thing.
Being
a mutant is being a traitor.
But of course, everyone at the table is a mutant.
Yeah.
Yes, but that, again, it's just it's not knowing what questions to ask. I think was what, at least for me, hampered me from being able to play.
You know, so, one of the things, too, if you ever play it again, what you can do is you can always go to a confessional booth, confess to the computer that you are a mutant, put on the yellow stripe, and now everyone knows. But it also puts you as a target. So, hey, the computer allows you to live with your mutant powers. You should go to the front of the group.
Right.
He wouldn't have let you live if your mutant powers weren't useful.
And in this game, I had no, anti-mutant sentiment leveled at me at all.
Even though there was not a Frankenstein destroyer in the group, but was there anyone from... what were your secret societies?
I was Mafia, baby.
It was mine.
Free Enterprise.
You're thinking of me. I was anti-mutant.
You were anti-mutant?
Yeah.
You should have been doing everything you possibly could to have pushed him into food vats or in the front, like as the scrub bots are going, you just happen to trip him by accident, make it look like an accident, right? So that no one can put it on you. But you want this guy to be fucking dead. But again, that's part of me as the GM is I wasn't coaching you towards those goals.
Right.
And you hadn't created the character on your own, so you didn't. But even when you create the characters, you are supposed to randomly roll for which secret society you have and you've been indoctrinated into.
Right.
So even the characters that you create, you're not creating. They're still being randomly given to you. You don't get to go and pick your favorite stuff. Yeah. That's not paranoia.
Okay. Well, any final thoughts from everybody?
In hindsight, I'm a little bit upset that I had totally forgotten about my mutant power.
Which is what?
Energy field.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, that could have come in handy.
Erica, didn't you have regeneration?
Yeah, I did.
Didn't you lose an arm at one point?
Yeah, I did.
Why didn't you grow it back?
There's too much chance involved.
Because sometimes it backfires, and that arm doesn't grow back, and an arm grows where your other arm is, and then you have two arms on one side.
Go get him, lizard boy.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
I am glad that I chainsawed instead of energy fielded. Yeah. I think.
Yeah,
I think
that
so.
That was badass.
Yeah.
It's just I'm just gonna pull out my violet level chain. No, is it indigo? Ultra, my indigo yeah. level chainsaw.
Yeah. I'm glad I got a chance to role play, like actually try and bullshit you.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Like, all right, I'm just going to keep him on the fucking hook and just see what I can do. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun. I don't know if Paranoia is the game for me. And like I said, that's not a knock against you. I just don't think the world is something that I dig.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to play under you because I've always heard you talk about your role playing experiences for the last couple of years that we've been really close friends. So this was an interesting insight into you, and I'd like to see how you do with another game. Mm-hmm. So that was fun
too.
For me.
Yeah.
Julian, maybe Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, maybe. Julian, what are your thoughts?
I really liked this. I think we picked up steam when everyone started just saying like fuck it. Yeah. I think the problem was everyone at first was like, oh, okay, what are my goals? What's the rules? How do I do this? And then when everyone just realized I have no goals and I have no rules. And I'm just going to do what I feel like. Yeah. I think it worked out really
just
well.
Just try and make it to the end alive.
Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah.
There's a certain beauty in the chaos. I really liked it. I like the antics of it. It's one of those things I definitely would like to go back to again, more of in a private setting like you were talking about. I had a really good time with it, though. It was really, really scary sometimes and nerve-wracking, but... It's funny how everyone kind of reacts to that in a different way, and then they'll play on their character a different way because of it. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I had a pretty good time with it, making those split decisions. So,
Cassie?
Good.
I just want to say, Justin, even though happiness was mandatory, it was irrelevant because I think you made all of us happy regardless. So, thank you for that.
There you go. All right. I'll get to Justin in a sec. I just want to say, even though I didn't have as much fun as I wanted to, it was more fun for me listening to you guys play than it was for me actually play. I did enjoy, and I think that even as you guys as listeners, you get to basically experience what I experienced, and then that was just experiencing the fun of these players having fun in this world. And I want to say thank you, Justin, for that. So,
thank you.
Yeah, Justin. Yeah.
Oh, you're
last
all welcome.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Let's give
thank
a big
you
round
much.
Of applause.
Yeah.
Oh, no, stop. Diversity
points
for everyone. Diversity points. I regret to inform you that the computer has decided to eliminate your troubleshooting group and erase all of your clones.
Please
report to the termination bot immediately. Thank you for your cooperation. Happiness is mandatory.
Can I keep my chainsaw?
You're going to be destroyed.
Can I keep my chainsaw in my mind? Or in my heart forever?
That would be an AA3 class felony thought offense.
Anyway, for these words are terrible, we have been...
Cassie Casabella Choo Choo.
Erica Sailor Senshi Sabo.
Julian Loyalty is Mandatory Spillane.
Mike the Birdman Dodd.
Oh, Justin Eacock.
And I've been Steve Snowball Sailor saying, you know what, play more games, everybody. Have fun.
You have just listened to This Week in Geeks. These warriors are terrible. Did our terrible warriors succeed in saving the day? Did someone do something completely insane and stun the GM into a stupefied silence? And lastly, did someone get punched square in the goodie bags? Also, are there any settings or RPG systems you'd like the terrible warriors to visit? Do you have your own shameful, awesome, or just plain silly RPG adventures? Tell us with a comment on this episode post or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. Until next time, geeks and gamers, the dice has been put away, the books back on the shelf, and the Cheetos stuck to the floor. For these warriors are terrible!